Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody, it is Drags Mike Petralia back with another episode of the Red Sox Beat on the CLNS Media Network, joined by old friend Alex Barth of 98.5, the Sports Hub. He does a wonderful job covering all things Boston sports, of course, for 98.5, the Sports Hub.com, as well as you can follow him on Twitter, and should be by now, at Real Alex Barth. How you doing, bud? How's things?
How are we doing, Drags?
You bouncing back and forth between Boston and Foxborough quite a bit, aren't you?
Not even a lot of bouncing, mostly just in Foxborough, but I'm in Boston today, so.
There you go. We have a lot to talk about with your Boston Red Sox, and it ain't good. They lost again in extra innings, in 11 innings, mind you, to the Atlanta Braves at Fenway on Tuesday night, 9-7. It was their third straight loss. They, of course, lost 3 of 4 to the Kansas City Royals, one of the single worst teams in Major League Baseball. I don't care if the games were in Kansas City, Fenway, or on the moon. Not good to lose that. And I want to start. I know we're going to get to Chris Sale. We're going to get to Juris Familia coming in for the now injured list. Designated Tanner Houck. We'll get to all of that. But I want to talk about Jarren Duran and why you think the guy is still on the major league roster after that seventh inning display in Kansas City on Sunday.
Because Chaim Bloom loves him some prospects. He, you know, once you turn 26, 27, 28, he's done with you. So Duran's still young enough that there's still hope. I'm kidding. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, they could have kept Jackie Bradley Jr., who at least gives you something defensively, maybe salvages what's going on in that clubhouse. Instead, they keep a kid that looks totally lost. And look, in Duran's defense, he's not an outfielder. He was drafted as a second baseman.
Very fair point, Alex. That's a very fair point. Go ahead.
The whole reason he's playing outfield, the Red Sox actually, so in 2019, he was with the Lowell Spinners the year he got drafted. Or sorry, 2018, he was with the Lowell Spinners the year he got drafted. The Red Sox actually, the Spinners had an outfielder named Cole Brannon at the time, who the Red Sox had drafted in the second round. And right. Cole Brannon was a very fast player. Cole Brannon was one of the fastest players I've ever seen on a baseball field. Problem with Cole Brannon was that was pretty much it. I think he was hitting like a buck 85, and then he got hurt.
Billy Hamilton 2.0.
I wouldn't be that mean to Billy Hamilton, but sure. And then he got hurt, and the Spinners had like no outfielders. So they basically went in and said, who wants to play center field? And Duran was like a 9th, 10th round pick. He wasn't playing a ton. And to get on the field, he said, I'll do it. And so he's only been playing center field for like 4 or 5 years here. It sounds like a lot of time, but then you think about some of these guys have been playing the outfield since, right, you know, maybe they were like 10, 11, 12 years old. So in his defense, that being said, it should not look this bad. You don't expect him to be a gold glover, but it should not look this bad. I think maybe he's been a little better at the plate than some people give him credit for, but it's
got another home run on Tuesday night in the loss to the Braves.
But it's just a major league ball club should not look like this defensively. And it goes back to the point where the Red Sox don't seem to care about defense. They don't seem to value defense. They will just put guys out there for the sake of putting them out there, whether it's Franchy Cordero at first base, Jeter Downs at third base, Christian Arroyo, wherever, what they were doing, moving Christian Vasquez around, right? They don't care. They don't see this as a negative. They just see it as the price of doing business when your center fielder can't play center field. So I think that's why. I think because, you know, we all look at it and say, how is this guy still out there screwing up in the field? They don't see it that way.
So you juxtapose that against them releasing Jackie Bradley Jr. The Toronto Blue Jays sign him, pick him up reportedly, and he's going to join them down the stretch to add some defensive depth and a late inning assurance defensively, as a lot of competitive ball clubs do. You know, when games get tight and close, late in games, tight and late, you have a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. flying, you know, tracking down fly balls in center field. Jackie Bradley Jr., for my money, is the best center fielder defensively I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've heard people who've watched the game a lot longer than me agree with that. So, but again, with that doesn't seem to matter to Chaim Bloom.
I just think it
makes it even stranger that he traded for him back in the spring and that whole deal. But yeah.
Okay. I mean, you could sit here and kill Chaim Bloom and wonder what Alex Cora is thinking by keeping Jaren Duran in that lineup at this point.
So here's my thing with Cora.
Go ahead.
Remember when Tom Brady was on the Patriots and the offense wouldn't work and he would throw the protest balls? He would just 60 yards in double coverage.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going.
These are protest lineups from Alex Cora. Yeah. I really don't blame Alex Cora for a ton of this. Is he even perfect this year? No. But if Cora's management was the Red Sox biggest problem, they're in contention for the division. Like that's how little it's on my radar. Look at what he's been given. It's not a major league roster. I think he's telling ownership.
Fabulous point, Alex. That's a terrific point.
This is what you're going to give me. You're going to trade away Jackie Bradley Jr. or you're going to DFA him. All right. Here's Jaren Duran in center field. All right. You're not going to give me a real first baseman. Well, I'm going to put Franchi over there and see how you like that. So I don't blame Alex Cora for this. He doesn't have a full major league roster to make a major league lineup. And within that, I think he's trying to send a message.
I also think he's the response he's given many times, of course, before and after games in that Fenway press room is, what else am I going to do? Who else do you want me to put out? Who would have a reasonable chance of competing defensively in that position? What do you want me to do? And I go back to, and I'm going to transition here into my next subject. Why Chaim Bloom thought it was a smart idea trading away Andrew Benintendi after the 2018 season is absolutely, or after the 2019 season, is absolutely beyond me. Do you understand that at all?
I think because they thought him and Verdugo are redundant. So I think that's part of it. The other thing is, well, let's look at how the nerds view the game.
Yes,
three true outcomes, right? Three true outcomes: home run, strikeout, walk. What does Andrew Benintendi do? He hits singles, and there is no place in baseball for singles
or a Gold Glove left fielder either.
Or a Gold Glove left fielder, right? They don't care about defense. You know who the worst player in the history of baseball is to these nerds? Ichiro. They would have. Think about it. Seriously, think about it. Yes, they would have no time for that guy.
Fabulous.
Would have one of the best players of his generation.
Best outfielder I ever saw. Best one of the most
beloved players of his generation, one of the best players, helped grow the game tremendously. These nerds, Chaim Bloom, Andrew Freeman, and this isn't just a Bloom thing. This is like a bigger picture thing. They're going to look at that guy and say, all right, he gets 210 hits, but 150, 160 of them are singles. I don't need that. Like, that's how they view the game. So I'm not saying Andrew Benintendi is Ichiro. That's the comp. But again, a guy that hits a lot of singles, even though there is, believe it or not, getting guys on base is a good idea. Running up pitch counts is a good idea. Testing pitchers is a good idea. Oh, and he can play some defense.
Right.
There's no room for that in nerdball. There's no room for that. They'd rather 30 home runs and 150 strikeouts. And for the record, I am one of those people that thinks Ken Griffey Jr., when healthy, is the greatest player in the history of modern baseball. The ultimate five-tool player.
Who, Ken Griffey Jr.? Yes.
Yeah.
At his height, and I know people, like I've said before, people are going to point to Shohei Ohtani and certainly Mike Trout in that discussion when his back wasn't acting up. But the Red Sox, just for whatever reason, Alex, and I don't understand it, they don't value and look at baseball the same way successful teams have played it throughout the years. And I think part of this, Alex, is the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom wanted to bring that Tampa Bay style up to Boston. And John Henry, who has made billions on projecting futures and looking outside the box, thought that Chaim Bloom was truly onto something. And, you know, 3 years in, it's not working out well. And in just a bit, we'll talk about what this means for the Red Sox going forward. I'm talking with Alex Barth of 98.5. The Sports Hub does a great job covering all things Boston sports, and follow him on Twitter at @RealAlexBarth. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news of every league including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and yes, even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today to make your first sports bet. Use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, back with Alex Barth of 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Sale breaking his wrist riding a bike. It's surreal, Alex. After what the guy has been through, it looked as if maybe he gets back by the end of the season. I don't think it would have mattered at this point, you know, with the broken pinky finger. I think they would have held him out anyway. Breaking his wrist makes it a sure thing that he won't be back the rest of this year. However, a great story in The Athletic today, and I want to find it, by Jen McCaffrey, looks to the bigger picture, and that is 2023. What is Chris Sale's wrist surgery that happened on Tuesday mean for the long-term success of this rotation going forward? It ain't good, to be very kind about it. She writes, news of Chris Sale's season-ending wrist surgery on Tuesday threw more uncertainty into the 2023 pitching picture. On a day when Rich Hill gave up 4 runs in 4 innings, Red Sox lose again 9-7 to the Atlanta Braves. Sale, who just had started throwing again following surgery on his left pinky finger on July 18th, when he was hit with a comebacker to the mound, fell off his bike near his home on Saturday. In the process, he broke his right wrist. What should the expectations be for the entire rotation? Nathan Eovaldi will be a free agent this winter, as will Michael Wacha and Rich Hill. Aside from Sale, Nick Pivetta and James Paxton are the only other starters under team control for next year. Ouch.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. And I don't think you can count on Sale for anything. And let's not, remember, they did that this year. They thought they were going to get 20, 30 starts out of Chris Sale. That was never going to happen. It was anybody who's watched him the last couple of years, it was never going to happen. They're in big trouble, and they're going to have to, you know,
spend
on tight here.
Or
spend, you're muted, by the way. Spend money on pitching, which they have not proven they'll do, at least not significantly. They'll draft Garrett Whitlock in the Rule 5 draft, which was not a bad move. They will pay James Paxton, whose elbow doesn't work. That wasn't a great move. But they're going to have to go out and give one of these actual big-time pitching prospects, because you can't – is Pivetta going to be their number one next year? Like, that's not – you're not winning with that.
No, you're not. And I think – you know, when you take a look at the long-term picture of the
Reds, by the way, let's not forget that they're running their top pitching prospect into the ground right now.
Help me. Yes.
Brian Baio.
You wonder how a guy like a 23-year-old like Brian Baio is going to handle that, right? Mentally going forward?
Probably not well, which is, again, goes back to your screwing around with his development, which is never good.
No, I just don't like the feel. And we haven't even talked about the impact Rafael Devers' contract negotiations and the uncertainty regarding what's going to happen with Xander Bogaerts and the rest of their position players. Christian Vasquez, obviously, already out the door and playing now in Houston. It just seems so unsettled right now, and they don't appear to have a plan. That's what I think bothers Red Sox fans the most, right, Alex? Is,
oh yeah,
your plan. I mean, it was great to get Tommy Pham. He actually, you know what? He had another homer on Tuesday night in the loss to the Braves. Tommy Pham has been one of those players who has seemed to be a great fit in Boston. He loves the energy. Red Sox fans love him. He hit a solo home run, as I said, in the third inning on Tuesday. He has 2 home runs, 4 RBIs over the last 2 games, brings tremendous energy. The other guy they acquired, Eric Hosmer, went 0-for-2 on Tuesday night, left the game after the fourth inning due to a left knee contusion. What are you doing? I mean, we asked this last week, but again, what are you doing?
Right. There's no drag. And okay, cool. Tommy Pham's going to hit a couple of home runs. He'll end up with the worst draft spot. Like, it doesn't feel like it makes a difference right now. They lost the game anyway. Like, the team's not better. they bought and the team's not better. That's just never acceptable.
You know, we've said this before, and I said it last week, the Red Sox made those trades in case they made the playoffs, not to make a run at the playoffs, but in case they playoffs. It's
horrible way of thinking. It's a horrible way of thinking. It's that is not how sports work. You never build your roster around what if we're good, because you know what?
No.
Let's break down that logic for a second.
Yeah.
What's going to decide if the Red Sox make the playoffs or not? If the roster is good. So they're basically saying, well, our roster probably isn't good enough, but just in case it is, let's make it a little better. Like, what a bizarre logic loop that is.
It makes
the
roster's
not good enough, so let's make it just a little bit better, just in case it gets better, when you could, I don't know, just make it better, make it good enough, instead of, well, we're not going to make it good enough, but we're going to make it just a little better in case it gets good enough. Like, that makes no sense. No team in sports operates that way. And this is why I was fine. I wasn't in love with Bloom's plan, but I was fine with giving him some leash until he made those moves at the deadline, because I think before the deadline, there was a plan. I didn't love the plan. It was the Tampa plan. I didn't love it, but it's like, all right, at least for what the plan is, I think he's executing it. What he's doing now, just he's totally lost. He's totally off the trail. It's not the Tampa plan. It's not a small market plan. It's not a big market plan. It's a mess. That's all it is. It's a mess. And he's completely, I don't know if he's chasing media narratives, if ownership has kind of forced him to change direction, whatever it is, but he's totally off the rails now. And it's ridiculous.
Do you believe in run differential and extrapolating that over a season as a significant statistic that represents how you're doing overall? Do you think it's representative of the team?
I think it can be, yes.
You know where I'm going with this?
The Red Sox, it's brutal, right?
They were above water for most of the year. Then they had the 28-5 game against Toronto, right?
Yep.
They are right now, run differential, minus 32. Do you realize there are only three teams in the American League worse? You realize that?
Remember, they had that stretch right after the All-Star game, and the Toronto game was in there, but it wasn't just that. They had, like, every day for about a week, it was coming out that, when you adjusted it, it was like the worst five-game stretch in terms of run differential in the history of baseball. And
yes.
So, again, to have that one stretch maybe is not indicative of the whole season, but let's look at when that stretch was. That stretch was right before the trade deadline. They were, for about a week,
right,
the worst team in the modern history of baseball, and they invested in that roster. They decided to keep that thing together and add pieces after being, once again, for about a week, the worst week a team has had. And baseball's history is long. It's all up, Dorktown, secret base, that thing. It's all there. I'll go back and see if I can find some of the numbers here. But they were they had the worst stretch a team has had in decades.
You don't have to waste too much.
You know what? Bye, bye, bye.
Okay. The teams that are worse, the Detroit Tigers, minus 133. This is heading into games on Wednesday, minus 133. Oakland is minus 122. Kansas City, the team they just lost 3-4 to, minus 121. The Red Sox and LA Angels, one of the worst teams in baseball after the month of May, they've been brutal. They are also negative 32, and your Boston Red Sox are negative 32. All of that being said, Alex, this team is five games out of the wild card, six in the loss column behind the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm just wondering, if all of the injuries and all of the losses they've had of late, eventually the players say, look, we're just not good enough. And I know they want to be professional in the clubhouse, but do you think the white flag is going up the pole at this point?
After last night, it would feel that way. By the way, I found the stats. So this is on July 24th. So this is about a week and a half before the deadline.
Right.
And this is, it's the worst five-game stretch for any big league team in the last 70 years. Oh. So five games the last 70 years. Number one, the 2022 Boston Red Sox, July 16th to 24th. Number two, the 2022 Boston Red Sox, July 15th to July 23rd. Number three, the 2022 Boston Red Sox, July 14th to July 22nd. And by the way, these things kind of getting bunched together like that. So you'd say, well, okay, maybe there's one bad game in there. And yeah, they're in the top three, but it's all because of one game.
Right.
You go further down the list. And by the way, the fourth team is another team from 2022. That was the Cubs from June 11th to 15th. But you go 22 Cubs, 18 Angels, 10 Pirates, 56 Senators, 54 A's, 99 Cubs, 93 Twins, 21 Orioles, 19 Orioles, 15 Braves. Like, it doesn't. Other teams don't bunch together. The only other team that's bunched together, you got to go outside the top 10. You go down to about, you know, the 15, 16, 17 range, the 2000 Yankees. But it's actually not common for it to get bunched up like that. But again, the worst five-game stretches in the last 70 years. One, the Red Sox right before the trade deadline. Two, the Red Sox right before the trade deadline. Three, the Red Sox right before the trade deadline. And they said, let's invest in this.
You know what's interesting about that list?
You kind of need the visual of it for it to work.
I think most Red Sox fans remember this. Remember the 2000 Yankees that you point out? They won the World Series. That was the year that they were up on the Red Sox by, I believe, 11 games heading into Labor Day, and the Yankees almost blew the lead. Do you remember that series?
Yeah, so it's September 25th to 29th, and right. September 27th to October 1st. So it's at the end of the year. Like that, you know, it's different. So
anyway,
yeah.
Anything else on your mind before we wrap it up here?
We didn't touch on Chris Sale a ton. They got to give up on him. They just can't. If he gives you anything, it's gravy. You can't count on him because I see people saying, oh, well, you know, why do you have to ride his bike? Why didn't he take an Uber? Might have strained his shoulder opening the door. Just look at him, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
If he had ordered Uber Eats, they give him the bag of food, he might have broken his wrist. The guy's 6'4", 180 pounds. At some point, they need to talk to him and say, dude, you need to eat a cheeseburger. Get in the gym, something. It's just he's not built like a pro athlete. You're seeing it. He's just a fragile guy. These injuries have all been fluky, but it all traces back to him maybe not being in shape. And the Red Sox seemingly haven't done anything about that. They just are waiting for him to be magically healthy. Like, I'm surprised he didn't hurt himself during the clubhouse meltdown. But I compared it the last night. I was on 985 The Sports Hub. I kind of compared him and where his contract's at this point to Dustin Pedroia at the end. Sure, he was a great player at one point, but he's not that player anymore. He's really not physically all there. You can't count on him for anything. You just can't.
I'm going to read this quote that Jen McCaffrey has in her story on The Athletic that we are quoting from. We have found a way a lot of nights because of what our depth has done, and it shows the importance of that pipeline and continuing to build that depth, Bloom said. We plan on going into next year with a lot of starting pitching options, knowing that whether it's Sale or somebody else, things do happen, and we are going to need people to step up over the course of the season if we want to play in the postseason, unquote. Here are the three top free agents that are on the market for next year going into 2023. These three pictures: Jacob DeGrom, Jake Odorizzi, and the New York Mets, Chris Bassitt. Do you think any of the Red Sox have a prayer in hell of signing any of those three after what's happened here?
They should. I mean, in theory, they should, because they have the resources to do it through the Boston Red Sox. So I think they will know.
DeGrom is the one. DeGrom. Well, we talk about Sale and his health. DeGrom has had health injury.
If they sign Jacob DeGrom, that's just Chris Sale 2.0. He hasn't made more than 15 starts in the last 3 years. I wouldn't touch that one.
You would not. No. Odorizzi?
Bassitt. Odorizzi, Bassitt to me would be the guy.
Yeah, he was great against the Reds the other night.
Yeah, he's a little bit younger, I believe, than Odorizzi, right?
I believe that's accurate. Yes.
He's thrown less innings in his career, but it's not a health thing. He just came up a little late, and he's been durable the last couple of years. So.
You heading down to Foxborough again soon?
Yeah, preseason opener tomorrow.
Yep, preseason opener. How excited are you? Tell me. Let's finish on a high note.
I mean, I love covering the games. It's going to be great. It's going to be nice to get some of these questions answered that you say you want to end on a high note. Then you talk about Patriots training camp. It's going to be nice to see just how much of an issue the offensive line is. And I think it's, you know, people are talking about the receivers or whatever. I think it's all on the offensive line, but it's going to be nice to finally have some context to this and see really what's going on.
How much do you think Mac plays?
Maybe a series or two, if that.
Yeah, so it's going to be hard to judge really where he's at by the games. It's what happens. Go ahead.
I'm not worried about where he's at because when he's had time to throw, he's looked very good. It's just he hasn't had time to throw because the offensive line's been a mess. So I'm not. It's the offensive line for me. That's what I'm worried about.
Fair enough. He is Alex Barth. He does a great job, as we just demonstrated, covering all things Boston sports, not just the Red Sox. Be sure to follow him and his coverage on 98.5thesportshub.com and follow him on Twitter at @RealAlexBarth. I want to thank everybody for downloading this episode of the Red Sox Beat podcast powered by CLNS Media. I want to thank our terrific sponsor, our very loyal sponsor, BetOnline.ag, our official online gaming partner. BetOnline, where the game starts. He's Alex Barth. I'm Mike Petralia. Thanks for downloading this podcast and enjoy your week.